I think this side needs the sermon more than this side. I was kidding. But open your Bibles to 2 Timothy. We've been through this book in the New Testament. And as we've gone through it, Neil and I thought that it would be a great book for this day and for this age. We had no idea how this book at this time means so much to us as believers. I hope you've been encouraged to not be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. Let's look at chapter 4. We start at verse 1, and I'll read all the way through verse 8. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved, who have longed for his appearing. We end our reading there. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word, which is true. Thank you, God, that it's trustworthy. And thank you that from it we can receive that correction, that instruction, that training in righteousness. And we're trusting that today, Lord, you'll do that by the power of your Holy Spirit. Use your word in each of our lives, Lord. We wait upon you. We need you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We know that these words were written near the very end of the Apostle Paul's life. At the outset, he had about 2 or 3 weeks to live. Some even thought he may have passed away or was killed days after this letter was written. We can't know for sure. But we do know that here is the Apostle Paul's teaching, encouragement, to a young pastor named Timothy. And as I said before, Timothy was like a son to the Apostle Paul. Last words. They're important, aren't they? We hang on to the last words that someone may speak to us ever in their lives. We sit at their bedside and we hear a lifetime of lessons distilled into a few choice words. Now, this was written many years ago. And yet the themes that we've been going through week by week as we've studied this passage have stirred us, for in lots of ways these speak to our time. And while the specific situation surrounding Timothy's life and his call were very unique, the basis of the call is for all who would seek to serve the Lord in his kingdom. And that means you, and that means me. First off, Timothy was given the charge to serve in the kingdom. There it is, verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Timothy, proclaim God's word. And then he says, here's 4 marks that are to characterize this charge to proclaim the word of God, to preach the word. He says, be always prepared in season and out of season. That means whether it's convenient or not. It's not an excuse for being rude, but it's a warning against being lazy. Be at the ready. As you wouldn't expect a fire... How many firemen are here? Fire persons are here today? Anybody has put out a fire? 2? Come on, there's more. Raise your hand high. All right, let's honor these folk. Yeah. So your house is on fire, you call the fire department, and they say, oh, I'm in the middle of breakfast, sorry. You'll just have to wait. What kind of fire person would that be? No, at the ready, the Apostle Paul is saying right here, as Timothy thinks about his charge to be pastor at the church in Ephesus, he needs to be ready to do that in season and out of season. Not wait. God's messenger is to be on call. Always prepared. Be relevant. Reprove. Correct. That is, anything that's wrong in belief, Timothy was called upon to reprove that. Then rebuke, that brings it up into the whole moral realm. If you see a brother or sister walking away from God's will and way, it's our responsibility to rebuke that person, that is, restore them. And then it says exhort, that is, build up emotionally, apply God's word with relevance. Always be prepared, be relevant, be patient. Proclaim the good news, Timothy, and leave the results with the Holy Spirit. You know, a part of patience is to do it again. Did you know that a part of patience is to do it again? 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 That's a part of patience, isn't it? That you're willing to persevere in that. Be patient and then be careful to teach. Let's say your call is not to be pastor or teacher. How does this call in Scripture fit your life? Well, Shane and Nikki, Kevin and Callie, Jeff and Jamie, you've been called to be parents. You've been called to be the main disciplers in your children's lives. And that's true not only for those three couples, it's true for everyone here. Even if you're not a parent here, you're an influencer of the next generation. That by what you live and how you live, that next generation is watching and they're going to see. You've been called to disciple others. It's in the realm of home then. It's in the realm of school. It's in the realm of work. We're to be prepared. You can't tell when a conversation will turn to spiritual things. So be ready. We're to be relevant. What we say concerning our faith must already be making a difference in our lives. Be relevant. And then he says, be patient. Patterns don't change overnight. Be a patient instructor. Don't assume. Speak truth. You see, patience and prayer go together. Be faithful in prayer as well. So, first off, the charge to service in the kingdom is to be always prepared, relevant, patient, careful to teach, realizing that we're influencing other people around us for the cause of Christ and for the sake of the gospel. And Paul says the basis of Timothy's charge, verses 1 and then 3 through 8, is what he presents next. It's the basis of the charge. And the first thing I want to think about with you about what's at the foundation of that charge, the Apostle Paul calls Timothy to look to Jesus. Verse 1, he is the coming king. He is the judge. Timothy's charge only makes sense in the light of the coming kingdom. Christ's second coming and judgment. Jesus Christ will come again. Do you believe that? You see, if we don't believe that, then anything else the Apostle Paul says at this point makes absolutely no sense. If Jesus Christ wasn't coming again, why would you have to teach something? If Jesus Christ wasn't coming again, why would you need to rebuke someone? But the truth is, he is coming. Therefore, the task, the call that we've been given is all the more urgent because the truth is, one day Jesus is coming again to judge the living and the dead. Be prepared. Timothy was to view his call in the light of these four truths. He says it there in verse 1, in the light of Christ's presence, in the light of his appearing, in the light of his kingdom, in the light of judgment, these should be as clear and certain to us as they were to Paul and Timothy, if not more so. One day, years ago, how many of you know Billy Graham? Great evangelist, right? Well, one day he was invited to golf with the president. The president was John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Are you ready? This is what happened. On the way home from the golf course, we don't know who won. The president asked Billy Graham, looked right in his face, Do you believe Jesus is coming back to earth again? Billy Graham wrote that of two thoughts that went through his mind before he answered, thought number one was he never thought the president would ask a question like that. And he didn't think the president knew that Jesus was supposed to come back. Billy Graham answered him and said, "Yes, sir, I do." The president replied, "All right, sir, explain it to me." Talk about being ready to give a reason for the hope you have. What if you get that question tomorrow? All believers are to be ready, whether asked by the president or someone else, to give a reason for the hope that we have. So look to Jesus. Know that he's the coming king. He will rule and reign supreme. He is the coming Lord. Look to him. And then look at what's going on in your world. Maria and I get up early for, you know, because we got to get up early. And one of my favorite things to do lately is to watch CBS News right at 7 o'clock. You know what they do for me at 7 o'clock? They give me the world in 90 seconds. Charlie Rose says, "Here's your world in 90 seconds. Lately, I haven't been able to watch it because my world in 90 seconds is a pretty dismal place to live. There's all sorts of things going on all around us. But Paul's saying to Timothy, consider what's going on around you. Consider the current situation. And you and I need to be aware of that as well. In fact, Paul's saying, not only when you look at it, Timothy, see what's going on, but you need to anticipate harder things, more deterioration. Already that had begun for Timothy. People would not be able to bear the truth. People would not be able to stand for the truth. In fact, they would refuse to listen to it. Stott says they will substitute their fancy for God's revelation. It's not that they would listen and then decide whether they like it. No, the text says it's first they're going to decide what they want to hear and then go out and find a teacher that will tell them what they want to be told. Jeremiah 5:30 says, "An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their own direction, and the people love it that way." Whoa. In the face of such opposition, what's to be our response? In a world where people are acting insanely, Timothy was called to be steady and keep his head. You and I are called the same way. When people will not listen, it says here we're to be prepared to endure hardship. What does that mean? It means we're going to keep telling the truth and people aren't going to like it. Do the work of an evangelist. Preserve the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. Go and tell all that the Lord has done for you. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would fulfill the ministry that God has given to discharge our duties to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus. So the basis of this charge is Jesus Christ is coming again. The basis of this charge is that the current situation, the world, is not going to help us. It never has and it never will. The third thing, the basis for the charge, is to look at those who've gone before us. Again, I read from chapter 4, 6 through 8. "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure's come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who long for his appearing." Paul was being called home. And at this very moment, 2 Timothy 2:2 is coming into effect. Remember Paul there wrote, "The things you've heard from me or seen in me, instruct to others who will be able to teach others." And the idea there is that they'll be able to teach others on down the line. And at this very moment, as we read these verses, that was happening in Timothy's life. The torch of the gospel was handed from one generation to the next. I need three volunteers. Who's going to raise their hand, kids? Who wants to be a volunteer? Colton, come on up. Come on up. You raised your hand. I don't know your name, though. You'll have to introduce yourself. Come on up. Yep. That's three. Let's have one more. Taylor, come on up. Oh, Colton, how'd you get with three girls? It's pretty cool. Pretty cool, pretty cool, pretty cool. Let's introduce yourselves. Can you introduce yourself? Can you put this on the screen so they can see them up there? Introduce yourself, brother. Can I have the mic? That would be good.
I'm Colton.
I'm Kayla.
I'm Cameron.
I'm Taylor.
All right. You're going to help me. Years ago, a man went to an auction. Have you ever been to an auction? Okay. This was an auction for safe deposit box. Have you ever been in a bank? The big safe, you know, and inside the safe are a bunch of boxes, kind of like this. And if you have a safe deposit box, you can put whatever you want in it, and the bank keeps it safe. Well, this man went in an auction, and what he did was they were auctioning off all the things that people left behind in safe deposit boxes. I've got a safe deposit box here with some of the things that were left behind, okay? Can you, Colton, you'll be the opener, and then they'll be the ones who discover what's in there. Put the key right in there. Turn it. Now open it up. And Kayla, would you be the first one to lift something out of there? Okay, they found diaries. Okay. Come on, Cameron, pick something. That's the closest thing to a pocket watch I could find. They found a pocket watch. Taylor's turn. 3 stones. Okay. Go ahead, Colton. You pick one. Old newspapers. Okay. Let's go around again. Let's go quick. What's that? A hotel receipt at a Waikiki hotel. A social security card. Hokey patooties. Passport. 2 marbles. I'll just keep going through. A birth certificate. A marriage certificate. A coin collection. Ooh, finally we got something of value. And some old photographs. Kids, you can sit down, and then I'm going to talk about it some more. Say thank you to the kids. These things were so important that at one time someone paid money to keep them in a 6x12 piece of steel. We'll pray for those guys too. The end of a life. How precious are these now? Not much, really, are they? They're of little earthly value. What will you leave behind? Let's dare to think of Timothy's call this morning, to ponder what was going on at that very moment as Timothy was reading the letter. Paul is showing him that it is an investment in what God dearly loves that will matter most. God loves people. And people who are investing in others, the most important thing you can do for those other folk is to point them to the Savior by what we say and by what we do. An example of a life marching to the drumbeat of the Lord's will, to the Lord's call, is what's most important. Guided not by the winds of culture, but by the promises of God that are eternally true. That we would be an inspiration to those who come behind us to become all that God intended them to be. You see, this stuff, even the coin collection, matters. I wanted to say the word diddly squat. You know what that means, right? It means nothing. But what does matter is that someone would come and know and love and serve the Savior, not only in this life, but for all eternity. It makes all the difference. Let's pray. God, we trust that you will work in our lives in such a way that just like Timothy's challenge came to him long ago, that challenge comes to us today to live as faithful disciples of Jesus in this world. For what's most important is not the stuff that we accumulate, but Lord, the fact that one man who found you, or you found him on the road to Damascus, was letting another man know how important and how dear you were to him, and how he needed to take that baton, take that torch, and continue to hold out the gospel, the word of life, to the next generation. Oh God, may we be faithful in it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.